We're here again with Dr. Becky Myers, superintendent of Lake Pend'Oreille School District, our school district here in North Idaho, in Sandpoint, Bonner County, and Shelby Struess, new community relations coordinator. Yeah. So we can just get started again. Welcome. And there's a lot going on at the school district, as I said. And so if you take a drive down Division Street, where do we want to start? It's up to you, Becky Meyer.
Well, you probably saw the construction. I do want to say, I know it looks like from the outside, people are like, oh my goodness, we get a lot of calls. Are we going to be ready to have middle school with all that construction? Yes, we are. So just to give you an update, that funding for that middle school renovation project, $18.5 million, that was from what was called House Bill 521, a school modernization fund. The state of Idaho did like pretty much a big, huge bond, like they used to call it the Garvey bonds in the olden days, and then was able to give, based on your student enrollment, be able to give each district some funds to help with facilities. And we have a draft 10-year plan that the board approved, and that is how we got that gone.
$18.5 million.
Yes.
And that's for renovations, but weren't there... And it's just like we want to have it look better, but there were real things that needed to happen. So you chose the middle school to start with that 10-year project.
And I didn't actually start it. You make a good point. We had a long-range facility planning committee that was in, met at least monthly, sometimes more, for over a year. So they looked at the student populations, enrollment trends, the finances, different projects, what were the needs. We call it the building condition evaluations and looked at it for each of our 11 schools and homeschool academy. And then they did some prioritizing. The group, a bunch of community members and several staff people did a lot of work and then did a presentation to the school board. And the board voted, and they decided to go with Sandpoint Middle School with a renovation to start. Just for comparison, probably most people don't know this, but it'd be right over $50 million to be able to build a brand new middle school. Like, that's how expensive. So this is, you know, not even quite half the cost, but there's going to be a ton of upgrades. You spoke about it's not just a facelift, that there's HVAC, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. There's not going to be air conditioning throughout the whole thing, but air conditioning, just the whole ventilation, plumbing, electrical. You remember a couple years, Susie, when I was here a couple years ago when the plumbing and it flooded and students had to work from home for a couple of days. So there was some real structural and systems things that have been in there since the 50s that we needed, you know, the electrical too. So all of that's going to be upgraded with this renovation. And especially something important for families to know, the class sizes, if you've been in there yourself, which several in the community have, or your kids went there, the class sizes aren't equal. So there's some real small ones, and then there were some larger ones. So those are going to be equaled out. The lunchroom couldn't fit even one full class, so half would have to be up on the stage in the gym and half in the lunchroom. And so that was awkward, and it's hard for supervision and also for the kids to visit. So that lunchroom is going to push out into the quad, what they call the quad, with all of that grass out there. And the kitchen's being expanded, and so all new windows, so it's going to help with the heat. It gets very hot in there, and then it can get very cold. So helping with the heating system and then the new windows for safety, those will be upgraded. And then new lighting, so it'll be not quite as dark in the hallways. That's always been a complaint for years.
Yeah. So one question, and you may have already mentioned it, is when you drive down Division Street, you look and say, that's not going to be ready to open. So where are the kids going to be? So, and you mentioned prior to the live broadcast that it's in phases.
Yes, it's in phases. So they're starting with what they're going to do it in three sections so that the students, and we have those older portables behind, and then where the driver's ed building and some portables, double portables behind there, and there's still an annex behind. So what they're going to do is one third of the classrooms will be under construction while the students are using those alternate spots. And then in about December, they're going to switch and do another So they can do a bunch of work over Christmas break for 2 weeks while the students and staff are gone. And then they'll go in about February, March, April, they'll go to the last phase. And in that phase, they're actually going to move the offices. This is, I think, a brilliant design that the architect and community gave input on. They're going to move the office and the entrance from Sandpoint Middle School, instead of where the front and the same entrance that you use to go to Sandpoint High School, it's moved to the back, so that will help with congestion. And there'll be a drive-through. You probably saw that right now they're paved it this last weekend on Saturday, so you can see around what's considered the back of Sandpoint Middle School right now will be, that's the loop around there. So
it sounds like a lot of coordination.
Yes.
A lot of communication, mm-hmm. and we can get to your part of that, Shelby, in a second. But I'm sure that Principal Penrose can't wait for it to sort of coalesce and a big celebration once it's done.
Right. Yeah, they have, I think their theme for the year is flexibility. He's done a great job of communicating with parents. He's a really great communicator with the bullpup parents. And his staff is really on board to be able to be flexible for just the one calendar year, you know, school year. They'll finish, and when they start next fall, a year from now, they will be in the fully renovated building and be super happy.
Well, they have the really cool gymnasium. Well, mm-hmm. the flavor of that, because it's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think it used to be the high school.
Yes, it did.
And that gymnasium is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's unique. Yeah. And they did come up with a compromise. There was several folks in the community that said, get rid of those bleachers that are up above. And then some said, no, keep them. You have to keep. I think they came up between all of the community input, staff and parents, and then the architect. I think they designed a really interesting, and I think it's a win-win, two of the three bleacher sets above, so there'll be an L shape, and then the third area is down on the normal gym level. But that was, they were able to then put in new locker rooms. So there's ADA compliant locker rooms, you know, for students or families with disability, because they didn't have that before. They would step down if you've been in the middle school there. So it's a great compromise, and they'll be able to add a wrestling room out on the side as well. So lots of fun things happening at Sandpoint Middle School for sure.
So do you want to pipe in, Shelby? You're nodding your head like, yep, we're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it is exciting. I was just over there, 2 days ago, and the energy was high. Even the office coordinator, she seemed pumped about it. She said she's ready for it. She said she tends to thrive in a little bit of chaos. And so I think that they've known it was coming, and I think that they're putting systems in place to kind of help support the students and the teachers through it.
Okay. So
yeah.
And have you heard anything out in the community? I mean, are parents calling a lot to say what's going on? How are we going to make this work? You had a big event last night, which was the high school, middle school.
Open house, yes.
Yeah. How did that
so parents found out a lot about that and were able to get in. There's only a few of our classrooms that weren't able, that are still weren't accessible quite yet. Mm-hmm. So those teachers met those families and the parents and the students, the new students, in the gym. But they'll be ready for the first day of school. So it's a last push to get all those classrooms ready for the first day of school.
Well, I drove by yesterday and it seemed like there was a colony of ants called people just milling around and working, trying to meet that deadline.
Yes. Yeah. And yesterday we welcomed our staff. The staff came back on Monday, but they get that day to settle back in, be in their classrooms, you know, switch things around how they need to prepare for the year. And then our welcome back staff entire meeting, every staff person in the district goes to the Sandpoint High School gymnasium. So we had our welcome back. This year is Shine on Your Strengths is our theme. So we're really working on highlighting and focusing on all of our staff and student strengths. And that's our theme for the year, Shine on Your Strengths.
How are you going to look at that? How are you going to promote that or whatever?
Well, over the last several years, we've worked, since I came back, this is my fifth year back as the superintendent, we did Strength Finders, which we did actually years before we had started that, when Sean Woodward and Dick Civitanich were the superintendents. So we had initially done that years ago, But I continued that in my last district and brought it back. So it's the theory of really everyone being strength focused, helping everyone to realize what are their strengths and how can they help show up better in our schools, for themselves, for the community, and really concentrate and focus on those instead of focusing on their weaknesses, because we all know what our weaknesses are, so we don't need to point those out. But how do we work with other people that have different strengths? And you start to learn more collaboration, how to work with other people. So we're trying to teach that teamwork and then building their own self-efficacy and feeling really positive about themselves when they graduate from the Lake Pend Oreille School District.
How would you like to address that, Shelby?
Yeah, I think the Strengths Finder, just the strengths program and this focus is really important. I think the main thing about it is that it gives students the language to kind of explain and understand what their strengths are. And so in a situation where maybe they would be kind of frustrated because they want to be kind of the speaker for like a group project or something, and they don't really know how to advocate for themselves because they don't have the language to say, this is something I'm really good at, I'm really passionate about presenting my ideas to an audience. And so through this strengths work, it gives them that confidence and that language to be able to explain that to others.
And then teachers can take that initiative and find that student that maybe is quiet, mm-hmm. but maybe has those strengths, and kind of advocate, as you said, Beck, Dr. Meyer, to bring them out into that potential.
Yeah, you can call me Becky, Susie.
Okay, I'm never sure. But that's a great theme for the year.
Yeah, it is one of the board's goals. Speaking of goals, the board goals this year, the very first goal they have is to be working towards a strength-focused district. So this year, our 6th graders, 7th, 8th, 10th, and 11th graders will all be taking that strengths assessment. In the future, it'll just go at 6th grade, and they have what's called the Explorer. There's only 3 strengths that align with the 34 when you get to be older. And then they'll use that information to help build their strengths, do team building, collaboration. It really helps teachers to be able to identify for students, similar to what Shelby was talking about, but also to work with each other. And then that will happen in middle school. They'll have activities, touch point activities. And then that when they get to fall of 10th grade year, they'll take the big one, which is the Strengths Finder, and they'll have their 5 strengths. And then they work the rest of that high school career on that. And then what used to be called the Senior Project is now called the Future Readiness Project. That was a state change down in the legislature. They will be presenting their future readiness ideas, as well as an oral presentation and what their strengths are. So our goal is hopefully from elementary through graduation that we build and students recognize their strengths and how they can use them.
Bravo. Yeah. That's all I can really say, but that sounds perfect. We have a lot to get to here. We want to talk about the CTEC, which is Career Technical Education Center. You kind of said it's also being built. Tell us a little bit more about that, because there's some new news about that, you've added for sure. So go for it.
Yeah, well, and I know you did have Kelly Pryor, the CEO of Lighthouse. I know you had him on here, and Amy Longenecker for the executive director for PAFE, and then Dr. Casey McLaughlin, the assistant soup, was on talking about the Culinary Arts and Hospitality program that is added to our CTEC. So it's a career technical education program, and Lighthouse has been gracious enough, and really, they're so community-minded. For years and years and years, that has been their focus. And they have dedicated $500,000 to get the culinary arts program. It started and underway, the construction. I shared with the staff yesterday some kind of like pre and post pictures are pretty amazing to see in person. And then the PAFE, Pan Am Alliance for Education, has donated as well $250,000 for 5 years or the next 5 years. And so that has started us. It's about $1 million project to be able to go out into the community and ask for some matching funds, small or larger ones, to be able to complete that project and have that open for kids. We're hoping that will be open. The plan is for it to be open in January of 2027. So that would be second semester this school year. And you probably heard, but the great news is Jessica Lippi, remember Ivano's mm-hmm. and her dad, and she worked there for so long. Yeah, so it's a really wonderful project, and she's going to be the instructor. She already has a lot of ideas and visions, and it's going to be so fun for kids and so engaging for students to be able to be access to that level of program.
So in general, the Career Technical Education Center is a resource for students who have different paths in front of them, possibly, yes. at least to try it. And is this for high school students or middle and high school?
Just high school, but you make a good point. This is for anybody. Like, we've done, make sure we're doing enough positive press out that families mm-hmm. who homeschool know. West Bonner, Boundary County, anybody at homeschools, private schools, Christian schools, anybody, Waldorf, you know, anyone who wants to come can sign up to take electives at the CTEC.
Okay.
So it's not, you don't have to go the full day even at Sandpoint High School. The CTEC is a separate program. And there's drafting, computer science, medical. You know, my two oldest daughters went through the CNA program, and they became, both went, ended up going on to a, you know, 4 or 5 year nursing degree. So even if you feel it could just be a way to explore what are the possibilities after you graduate, and some people could go right to work after CTE, mm-hmm. because once you take those classes, you're industry ready when you graduate. That's what it is in all of these courses. There's welding, I mean, and then also another exciting thing is we're going to add automotive. So we just had our first advisory committee meeting last week, and we are going to be adding automotive. Thank you to Kiwanis, who donated a 4-post to start. And we have instructors that are already interested, and we have an advisory committee. So that automotive and light repair maintenance program is going to open in fall of 2027, so about a year from now. And so students who want to be able to be, you know, are mechanically inclined and want that hands-on elective, that will be another option that's going to be available.
I also want to give a quick shout out to Gripshin Tires, who donated the lift for the automotive shop. So the vehicle lifts that will actually lift the vehicle up off the ground for the students.
Oh yeah, the tire spinner things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
the
my
lift,
goodness.
The lift.
Did I get that wrong?
Yeah, they did the tires. Well, they did. They donated Gripshin Tires, which is across the street, and they also sit on the advisory committee. And then the Kiwanis get the 4-post so that they lift it, lifts the car up. And those were just installed yesterday. So, yeah.
What a wonderful community, an educational community we have here.
Yeah.
We're going to great, and the automotive and light repair mechanics program offering will open the fall of
right.
2027.
And we do have sports medicine. Speaking of community partnerships, the Rotary just had their annual golf tournament, and they raise money for the CTE programs. They have give it for scholarships, so thank you to them for that. And they also donated to our Diversified Health, CNA, and the Health Occupations and the Sports Medicine. They helped donate to that to give some equipment for us for those programs as well for CTEC.
It sounds like this is a whole new building.
Mm-hmm.
And where did the funding come from that? Is that part of the $18.5 million?
Nope. I wrote a grant. I joke, I rewrote it probably 112 times. I rewrote it. First, I started out with $7 million, and then it went down to $5 million, and then I just kept getting denied. It was back when they had the Idaho Career Ready Students, ICRS grants from the state, and then they had several rounds, and I didn't get accepted the first round, and I rewrote to get the second round, but we got accepted the third round, and we got, you know, $4 million something, and then the board kicked in a little bit from mm-hmm. our general fund. And so that coming together with donations is helping to finish that project at CTEC. And it's really gorgeous. We're hoping everybody comes to the grand opening. The grand opening is Monday, September 15th, and it's at 3:30 at night. We're going to have some little appetizers and a short little program of thanking people that have helped, telling a little bit about the vision and the why behind it and how great it's going to be for the community. And then students will be giving tours. So CTE students will be giving tours mm-hmm. throughout the CTEC. And that's at the south end of Sandpoint High School. So it's its own unique campus. But it is linked for safety, just with school safety across the country. Our district safety task force team really made an impression that we wanted it to be attached to Sandpoint High School. So there's hallways, which mm-hmm. is better for school safety.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, how fortunate. And are students already signed up for these programs for the fall?
Yes.
Of course they would be. Mm-hmm. This is starting. This is happening.
Next week. Yeah. Next Tuesday.
Tuesday school starts, folks.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, we want to talk a little bit about academic achievements. The ISATs, number 3 in math. I'll just let you go through the list. Who wants to take this one?
Well, I'll just let you know the positive news is we just probably 3 days ago got our updated, what they call scrubbed data from the state. And they take all of the data and then people who weren't there long enough to count into the assessments or if they didn't finish the tests, like they, once they called scrubbing the data, the actual results came back and they were printed in Idaho Ed News if anybody wants to look it up. But we were out of the top 25 districts in the state, the top largest districts, we were number 2 in our reading scores, which is called the IRI. Idaho Reading Indicator, and that's K through 3. We were number 2 in the entire state. That's pretty amazing. It is a lot, as you know. We have I've been on and talked several times about our Every Student Graduates a Reader program. That is an initiative we started a few years ago, and we're happy to say that our reading scores have dramatically increased every single year that we've been giving this focus. Starts with the dyslexia legislation, and that was it kind of started the initiative, and then we decided to take it to the next level in our district. And that, I do want to give a shout out to Rotary for that Every Student Graduates a Reader, that CHAFE, the bike ride. They've given money every year, and last year $80,000, and this year another $80,000, and it's just been incredible that they're willing to do that and support this program.
So what kind of programs do you use to move that those statistics forward and come out with as the number 2?
Right. Well, the number 1 thing, Susie, and you know this because you were in education your whole life, you still are, but is that it takes a compassionate, caring teacher who wants to, you know, our mission, every student, every day. These teachers are not letting anybody fall through the cracks because they do the diagnostics, the assessments, and they get the baseline for kids. And then they start to drill down. And, it, you know, we could have Lisa McElroy come and she could do an entire radio session for you on what exactly they use, what assessments they use, because they have a ton of different ones. They drill it down, though, to where they find out where is the issue for the student so they can adjust, intervene, and help the student in that specific spot. And it's all a bunch of data. There's sheets of data. And then they are able to help each individual student. So it's not just like a mass, oh, here's my classroom, and we're going to give this lesson. And if you don't get it, we'll try to help you, but mm-hmm. you just keep moving on.
Very specific.
Very.
Very clear. You have to say a lot for those teachers to be taking that on.
Yes.
And then I wonder about the partnership with the families, because what happens after the student leaves the school, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, at the end of the week, the partnership that needs to form and how there's a lot of communication that they can do at home, like, you know, help the student sit down and read.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. When I first started, I got to attend like a bite-sized literacy training for parents and it was the parents who had come to the school and had said, how can we help support our kids in learning to read? And so the school quickly put together this training where the parents got to go through some of the same stuff that their kids are learning in class and learn some strategies to go home with them. And even me sitting there, I only have a toddler, but still I'm like getting him to make vowel sounds. Like we're at home going, ah, a, ooh. Like it's just such like a whole child approach to at home and integrating it through just everyday communication and just preparing them to come to school excited to learn more and to build on it. And it just gives them like this feeling of confidence that bleeds into everything else.
Well, just a little anecdote on that thought. When a child hears good language, parents tell mm-hmm. a story about when they were a little child. And there's articulation, there's diction. That is the beginning almost of language. That's why in some the Grimm fairy tales, mm-hmm. those stories were mm-hmm. so full and diverse. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
I know we have some more rankings, but really quickly, I'd love to just plug sure. the Ready for Kindergarten program that is supported by PAFE, Panhandle Alliance for Education. And so that's a series of workshops that's totally free to anyone in our community, any parents, grandparents, caregivers. And the workshops are geared towards any kids who are ages 0 to 5, because really this kind of stuff starts before they enter kindergarten. And so I highly recommend that anybody, even grandparents or people who just work with kids in any capacity, look up the Ready for Kindergarten program from PAFE.
It sounds like it takes a village.
Yes.
Kind mm-hmm. of approach.
And where, Shelby, we did add a new program this year. Do you want to tell
them
about that?
Yeah. So that program, which has been going on for 18 years now here in Sandpoint, is expanding to Kokolala. And so there's three workshops. There's a fall, a winter, and a spring. The fall one is on language and literacy. Winter's math and reasoning. Spring is social development. And so the closest one coming up is September 26th in Kokolala, and then there's a series of 5 other dates as well.
But Kokolala, what do you mean Kokolala, Shelby?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's going to be hosted at Southside Elementary yeah. School.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's hosted at one of our schools at Southside in Kokolala, mm-hmm. and then the Sandpoint one is hosted at Farm and Stidwell.
It sounds like the district has a lot going on, a lot of opportunities for partnerships with parents and learning opportunities all over the place. Mm-hmm. Where do parents go to find out? I mean, you mentioned it right now, but where is it listed? And I'm sure it's a website, but mm-hmm. is there a special parent portal that they can sign up to get notices,
yes.
notifications?
Yes, yeah. They can sign up to get all the parents that go to the school, have kids in our school district already get the Loop, which is our monthly newsletter. But they also can go onto the website to sign up. Even if you're a grandparent and you don't have kids, anybody in the community can sign up to get the Loop with all of the updates.
Yeah, our monthly newsletter called The Loop comes at the end of each month. And it's got a lot of cool updates from within each of the schools and sharing highlights from different programs and achievements, but then also sharing some community resources. And it's just a great source of information for anyone who wants to be tuned into education within the community.
And our website is lposd.org. So if you just put in lposd.org, you can get any of the information we've been talking about. And it's filled with just a plethora of information. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Southside, you know, we added that Ready for Kindergarten, and PAFE is adding that. And that's really open to anybody in the community, but especially is going to be attracted to folks that live, you know, south of the Long Bridge. So that's wonderful to add that. We also, there is a growing population down by Southside, and we're adding a satellite campus for our homeschool academy. Our homeschool academy program here has a waiting list every year. And so we said, how can we help those families? And so we added at a satellite campus at Southside Elementary. And you know, Jenny Smith is the principal, and Erica Haynes, you might know her. She's famous in our community, and she's wonderful. She's done Interact, and she's taught English language arts. She's taught social studies, been very involved in the school system for years. She was an ASB president when she was in, I was her counselor when she was in Sandpoint High School. But she is wonderful, full of energy, and she is going to be leading that program at Southside Elementary.
And that's the Home School Academy. Why is that important that we have that integrated into our school district? Because people choose to maybe homeschool.
Yes.
But however,
yes, it's a great way for students and families who are homeschooling to collaborate and create their own community together. It's been super popular. They have contractors from the community, the Music Conservatory, Arts and Schweitzer and the Panada, and all different things throughout the community that they are learning to do. Gardening, they have a garden there. They have some playground equipment. They wrote a grant that they got. So that it's just an opportunity for them to have some homeschool of subjects that they want to teach their own children, but then to be able to come and have these other enhancements to their education and then be able to network with other families and socialize and have some pretty cool events. Yeah.
And this has only been how many years that you've integrated homeschoolers into the district?
Well, it was way back. I don't know the year off the top, but I know Sean Woodward was the, because I worked with Sean Woodward and he was the superintendent and he started the program. So sometime
2016, just looked it up.
Okay. Yeah. She has her computer. So 2016.
And it's important to really recognize the children who maybe it's a choice to do more of a homeschooling educational thing, mm-hmm. but I really commend the school yeah. district for doing that.
I think
that.
It's another great example of just recognizing the like individual needs of every student and every family and how different they are. And so offering, same with like CTEC or so many of the different things that are going on is having as many pathways available as possible to meet that student's needs. And the Homeschool Academy is great because they get to keep all the flexibility of homeschool, not be in a traditional school full time, and then be able to supplement and do some of the things that they might not be able to do at home, such as like there's a coding and robotics class, 3D printing and inventing. There's a great outdoor education program, or even just physical education. A lot of homeschool families, those students, those kids, you know, maybe they get to do stuff with their siblings or their neighbors, or they might have a co-op, but this is going to allow them to learn some of those more team building dynamics that they would get through a physical education class.
So yeah. Now a second opportunity to be able to, because it was in high demand. So we have that second opportunity at Southside. If people are interested, reach out to Southside Elementary School and ask about their homeschool academy satellite campus.
Where is our first one?
Here in the parking lot, in front of Sandpoint High School, mm-hmm. that building there, it's brown. You know, there's the middle school and the high school, and in front, when you're going to exit out of Sandpoint High School, there's that building, and you probably see they have a little garden there, and then some new playground equipment. They wrote a grant a couple years ago, and you see little kids playing out there on the grass. That's them.
It's a very sweet school. Yeah. If you ever want to come visit, I'd be happy to take you.
All right. That's very good. Good, good. So what else do we want to get
to? Well, I just didn't finish the other statistics.
Right. So academic achievement.
Yeah. So for our math, we were number 3 in the state for the largest 25 districts. And although the percentage, it's been in the paper lately. In fact, I just wrote a guest opinion recently that was published in the Daily Bee, is that something that people don't understand, math scores across the entire country are really not where we want them right now. Mm-hmm. But comparatively, ours were, for our total, which is grades 3 through graduation, is 54.1%. And that doesn't sound very high, and it's definitely not where we want it. Mm-hmm. But when you compare to the rest of the state, we were number 3. So there is some pieces we are going to focus. We got a new math curriculum K through 5 was Eureka Math Squared last year. It was the first year, and we did see our scores start to go up. The rigor's very high and new instructional strategies. And then we have big ideas. It's grades 6 through 12, and we re-upped that and did some new training for that as well. But when you look at that and you compare it to the rest of the state, we're doing well. But a point we really want to make is that does not mean that the other percentage, that 55%, are failing. It means that they haven't reached that proficiency and above benchmark, but they are growing. We can show math scores, and students are growing every year. And that is our mission, every student, every day, that every student's growing. Mm-hmm. So we do want to get better, and we do want to put more focus on math. The board has had a goal on math for the last 2 years to really focus on math and try to help people grasp those concepts and do better on the assessment as well.
So the big question becomes, how do you make math fun? And not just fun, but digestible and that you can make
relevant.
It sense starting yes. at the young age. It's not just rote learning. Mm-hmm. It's how does it live in my life? Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm sure that's been going on forever, but to up that a little bit.
Right. And the relevancy, I think, is a big thing. Manipulatives, which are handheld, you know, where you're working with what they call math manipulatives when they're in the younger grades, and hands-on really helps the brain connect the left to the right brain.
Yeah. Could you go get me 10 apples from that basket?
Yeah.
Something like that.
We do see a lot of promise in this new curriculum, and we've seen some results from the first year. This will be the second year. We have added math leads that we have at every school, and we have added math interventionists for schools that scores that we really need to help some particular population, similar to our Every Student Graduates a Reader program. Every student becomes a confident mathematician. So we're really working, and we've added math interventionists so that they will help do what we talked about earlier with the Every Student Graduates a Reader, where they find the areas that they aren't getting, that's not clicking, some of the skills that they need. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can go all the way back to like the primary levels that they have missed a skill and they're now up in an upper grade. So that's really how we're going to tackle that this year.
Another thing, learning process for the teachers to integrate into their classroom.
Yeah.
It's never ending. I just want to let our listeners know this is 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show. And we're here with Lake Pend'Oreille School District Superintendent Dr. Becky Meyer and new community relations coordinator Shelby Struess. And we're talking about the beginning of our school year and the things that were added and the milestones that you've reached and the importance of all these details. And I still am applauding the teachers because they take it on every single day, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, the teachers and all of the support staff, which is, you know, our instructional paraeducators, and they, you know, they used to be called classroom aides in the olden days, I guess. I'm getting to the age I can.
Paraeducators
is the, and the reason why, Susie, is these paras really help the instruction. They take small groups, they reinforce, they have specialized, like we do, our district does a phenomenal job of training our paraeducators so that all the adults that work with our students know what they're doing. They're not just thrown into it. That we have several programs for reading and math that they're trained in. Shelby was talking earlier about the bite-sized PDs. These are professional development and training that these paraeducators go to so that they can actually help with instruction for small groups and do that intervention we talked about.
Exactly. One more academic achievement, number 4 in English language arts of the top 25 largest traditional public schools in our state. Bravo.
Yes, bravo. And I do want to give a shout out. I don't like to specifically highlight schools versus other schools, because my job is to talk about as a whole district, you know, and how well we do as a full district. But I do want to give a shout out. This year, we did have Washington Elementary for our IRI scores. We're rounds up 89, over 89% were proficient. So rounds up to 90%. And that's one of the highest. They were in the very top 10 of traditional schools for the entire state. So we are just doing great things here in the district, of course. I am a little biased, but you look at the statistics and the data, the facts speak for themselves.
Do we want to go over the 2025-26 goals and results? You set goals every year, or we could talk about what your new goals are.
Yep.
And you've kind of alluded to
some of those. Yeah, I talked a little bit about the board's goals, and for the school district is the first one. You know, we had the one trusted adult that we've been doing, you know, 99.38% we ended last year. So that was phenomenal. We will continue that one trusted adult program because that helps with the student, you know, mental health and well-being. And it helps also for school safety, for students to really feel like they have that trusted adult. And we will continue that. This year, the board, though, has, like I told you earlier, really wants to focus on that steps of a strength-focused district. So their first goal with student health and well-being is all about the students learning their strengths and that all of them will be able to identify their top strengths at the end of the year from sixth grade and above. So that's their first goal. Their second goal is looking at graduation rate, And it doesn't come out officially like the last year's. You have an appeal process, so it doesn't come out officially until February. But last year, we're almost 92%, and our goal is always to be above 95%. So we're still working on that one. And the goal is still to try to get above that 95%. And then the third goal that the board has, our student achievement goals, is to really, now that we had our IRI at 81%, we're going to raise it to 82% for a school district. And that's pretty lofty, but that's what our goal is. And then increase our math proficiency for our math ISATs, which are, again, three through graduation, third grade through graduation, to be growing 3% or more, that our proficiency rate will grow by 3% or more.
Doable goal?
Yes, it's definitely doable. It's hard with the math, like I said. The math goal, we were like 2.4% growing this year, so we were close, but it couldn't even round up yet to 3%. So hopefully it's 3% and above next year that we grow.
I like the fact that parents can be partners in this so well, mm-hmm. and you have, things like having the children get to bed early and come to school with a good breakfast, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Things like that.
Yes.
Okay. What about new goals? Well, you kind of already talked mm-hmm. about those. Just moving forward.
Yep.
A little bit more each year.
Yeah.
Other stuff that we want to talk about? We still have some time here.
Well, we always have stuff to talk about, Susie. Yeah.
I know. When I use the word stuff, I mean exactly.
Yeah. Well, just to let you know that throughout the entire district, looks like right now our enrollment is up. We've made a big push, like we talked about earlier, for linking up with more homeschool families that want to be in the homeschool academy. But we've also really want parents to have other options. We have a Lake Pendere School District online option. So for some families, they really want to be able to connect online, whether they are going to be gone. Some families maybe go take some. Ever since the COVID, I've learned of a lot of families that decide to take a midwinter break somewhere and go do a cultural experience in some other part of the world or country. And so this could be an option for them. There's also some students that learn better online and not as much in person, and maybe their pace is either slower or faster than being in the classroom. So this program has increased. We have 61 students in that program. And again, you can find that out by going onto our website, lposd.org. So we have online options. And again, I can't reiterate enough that with CTEC and having CTE hands-on opportunities, that families could even enroll part-time in those programs as well. So those are some other options.
One of the questions that floats through my mind is, you mentioned growth in the district, and that ebbs and flows, but what is the matrix for funding? Because public school is free. And so funding comes from the state and some from federal and a lot from grants. How does funding ebb and flow? It used to be they'd have a day where they counted the students mm-hmm. and funding was based on that. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it's not by a day, but it's a very antiquated system. If anyone that's listening has been following the legislature in Idaho, it is a point of contention, because after the COVID, we were enrollment funding, which really makes the most sense. We're one of two states that's left in the entire nation that's based on average daily attendance. It's very outdated, because when families aren't there, you still have the bus drivers that need to pick up and take kids to school. You still have the same electrical bill. You still have the same facility needs, whether there's 10 people in a class or 45 people in a class. You still have the teacher. You still have the textbooks. I mean, there's just, mm-hmm. there's a number of non-negotiable, like, baseline expenses when you run a school. And so superintendents and community people throughout the state were very happy to have enrollment funding because of the stability, and you could, foreshadow like what your funding was going to be, and up or down as you needed to. And unfortunately, the governor vetoed that bill after it had passed the legislature, both sides. But So we do have ADA and Superintendent Critchfield, who was our state superintendent for the state, started a task force, which I actually was on that task force with legislatures a couple of years ago with some legislators and some other education and finance people. That didn't pass, but she's going to do it again this year and look at ways to update the and go to maybe like a student-centered funding formula. Right now, we're based on a classroom funding formula, which is called support units. So when they look at ADA, average daily attendance, not the Americans with Disabilities Act, but when they look at ADA, that's called average daily attendance. And what that is they take the students, you take your best 28 weeks. So we do attendance every day, every period, and you get to the end of the year, and they have their whole system takes their best 28 weeks, and that's how it's funded. It's a very complicated system. I'd be happy to talk to people in person about it, but suffice it to say then that's how they support what they call support units, which equates to like a classroom.
So anything else we want to talk? It's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot on your shoulders, Becky.
Oh, no.
And Shelby, you'll be getting the whole picture as you move along here. Because we didn't do this at the beginning. Shelby, you just started this job. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll wrap it up for this.
Sure. Yeah, I started in February. So I started towards the mid of the year, kind of more towards the end of the year, last school year. I had been living in Moscow for the last 15 years. I moved there to attend the University of Idaho. I grew up in Alaska, graduated from U of I, stuck around Moscow for a while, and then we moved here for my husband's job. And I was lucky enough to find this job because it's just so aligned with what I like to do and what I feel like I'm good at doing. So I'm just happy to be here and happy to see stuff it's very like fulfilling and heartwarming mm-hmm. to see the students and all the opportunities that are available for them. And then also some of the more challenging things are good at like challenging me to learn more and work through them and how to communicate that to the public. And so it's a mix of fun and the right kind of challenging.
So you're going into your second year, really?
Second school year, but mm-hmm. yeah. So once I hit February, I'll have been with the district for a full year.
Mm-hmm. So what are your goals?
Oh, goodness.
I mean, new things that you need
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, well, I would love to make an impact on, I guess, public perception of public school. I would love to just be kind of like a conduit from the district to the community to share why people should feel proud about the community that they live in, because the teachers are the community. Like, they're members of the community. The administration is members of the community. The people who are volunteering and who are, creating these systems of support, we're all in it together. And so I'd love to just make that picture more clear for people and figure out where are any disconnects mm-hmm. and how can I help kind of fill that gap. Like, where do I need to meet people? What channels do I need to come through on? How can I make a more clear line of communication?
Right.
And then also just, supporting each school individually. What are their needs? Some of our schools are really struggling with enrollment. So what impact can I have on boosting their enrollment and getting more people aware about them and all the amazing things that they're doing?
The good news is everything that you do, everything that parents do, comes down to one thing, right? Our children.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the future, mm-hmm. and the work you're doing is outstanding. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I think big. It's hard. It's nice to have a fresh perspective, Susie, because if you've been here for your whole life, or you've been here, I've been here since 1993, you do become really... it's like the frog that's in the pot and then they slowly warm up. You don't realize how amazing this district is. I was fortunate enough to be able to work in another district for 6 years and come back and really have an appreciation for how wonderful our community is for supporting, you spoke to it early, supporting education here, our school board, completely student-centered on like what is best for the students and then supporting the mm-hmm. staff here. And being new, Shelby was just like seeing with fresh set of eyes, how amazing, what are the opportunities available to this community? And, you know, there's controversy throughout public education throughout the country mm-hmm. right now. And there she speaks, you know, that sometimes public education is getting a black eye. If you actually look at your local schools and come in and see what we're teaching, look at what our students, the opportunities they have, the engagement, all the enrichment programs, it's pretty amazing for this small community to have as much as we do. So we're super proud of the schools, and it's just wonderful to have a new person to be able to share the torch and as we walk along together.
I'm just sitting here with two people that are dedicated to what they're doing for our children's sake. And yeah, thank you so much for all that you do. It dawns on me how important a partnership is. So I encourage parents to get involved as much as you can, support your teachers mm-hmm. and support your children in that effort. So good work, good job. I want to remind the listeners that anything else you want to say? I mean, you're both very articulate. Yeah, so
no,
thank you
for having us. We appreciate having the opportunity to be able to talk about the school district and welcome folks in, too.
Thank you so much.
Right. And tonight you have an event?
Oh, yeah. Tonight are the elementary open houses. So last night was secondary, and tonight are the elementary open houses.
And what time are those? You go to your elementary school with
your children? They're all different times.
Okay. So go to the website.
Yes.
Or
you can sign up for the loop because Shelby does have that in the loop all the different times.
Okay, and that's on the website too.
Yes, yes.
LPOSD.org.
Yes.
As we say. Okay, also this interview will be available on our website, krfy.org, later in the day. And we are rebroadcasting it over the air at 2 p.m. today. Mm-hmm. So lots of opportunities to hear all the good news of what's going on in our district. So thank you very much for coming
in. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
We will say goodbye. And I'm going to put a song on right now by the Beach Boys, Be True to Your School.